Looking to go out in the town and the city of Boston for an affordable price and grab some great food, drinks, and atmosphere in the Seaport District? Well, look no further than newcomer Seaport Social. Seaport Social is a premier and authentic social house that is poised to proudly serve the Boston area for many years to come. Their mission is to provide high-quality food and unique craft beer selection, along with a welcoming atmosphere for all those that wish to witness firsthand what the Boston social spirit is all about. From a top-notch bar, great group seating, to their premier menu, including their massive loaded nachos, endless craft beers on tap, and an exquisite espresso martini option, look for manager Jimmy, who will satisfy your needs. A project that has been 4 years in the making is finally here, Seaport Social, which is located at 225 Northern Avenue in the Seaport District in Boston, will officially open its doors for their grand opening December 1st. Get there while you can and tell them Steel and Az sent you. Eat, drink, social. That's what the Seaport Social does. Let it rip.
Welcome back to Steel and Az, presented by Hedge Better here, sponsored by Sliders Fitness and Performance and our law offices of Patrick J. Foley, episode 134 on the horizon. Showtime Craig with me, Naz up in here. How we doing?
How you doing?
Doing well. Guest tonight, recurring guest, Michael Hahn Jr., boxer out of Holbrook, put on his show as the main event at the Quincy Veterans Memorial Stadium. They had an outdoor pro boxing match. He was the lead card. He unanimous decision. He beat the bag out of Harry Vilaji out of the North Shore.
Who cares? Fuck the North Shore.
Yeah, South Shore took it again. Great interview. Try to get Frank Hogan to match up with him. He skipped out on us. Maybe we'll see him next time. But overall, good interview. I thought Mike came in, told us what happened, got the job done. Commented a little bit on Francis's attire. Pre-fights, what do you think, Craig?
It was great. He's good shit. You can tell he's like very like humble. He's definitely a fucking badass. I mean, I'd love to see it. I couldn't make it there that night. Probably cool fight in front of the entire crowd of Quincy in front of Veterans Stadium, which we frequented before.
Yeah, his nickname's the Bad Man, and he took out the guy named the Hitman. I guess he is the man. I mean, that's right.
The only person I'd put up with it was like John Wick, maybe.
Yeah. Kenny Powers is up there for me. Other things on the horizon, the Pats just signed Ezekiel Elliott. How does that help their playoff chances this year? First preseason game, lights out Lang's fighting in Rough and Rowdy, trying to avenge his only loss last time around. I forget the guy's name. He's fighting. I think the guy was in jail before.
Yeah. The con man or something.
Yeah. He'll probably be in jail. Convict. Yeah. He'll probably be in jail again. What else? Craig had a wild, there's been a wild vacations. We got to talk about that a little bit.
The fucking bender needs to stop. Yeah, it's been nonstop. So
and we'll save baseball in the back burner for when Anton decides to show up. David Krejci retired after 15 seasons with the Boston Bruins. I'll give my little last toast with him. So we'll lead on to it with Michael Hahn Jr. here, the boxer, episode 134. Moving smoothly here. Let's get to this interview now.
Ooh, let's go.
We're now joined by Holbrook, Mass native, recurring guest of the Steel and Az podcast, Michael Hahn Jr., coming off a big W in our hometown of Quincy, Massachusetts, Veterans Memorial Stadium. Outside, first of all, Mike, I want to know how you're doing and how's it feel to come out on top once again?
I'm feeling good. Thanks for having me on the podcast again. It feels great. You know, it was a tough fight, but I trained hard and I did the right thing, and I'm happy to be in the winner's circle coming out of this fight.
So his name was Harry Gigliotti, who's a North Shore guy, 9-4, definitely one of your toughest opponents the last, handful of fights. Just tell me what kind of went into it. I know, fighting outdoors, it happened to be a beautiful night, but how do you prepare for that kind of in a different way outside of, going into the vets club or, inside anywhere?
Preparing for that fight because it was a local fight, so whoever wins will obviously move on to bigger and better things. I mean, he will too, but I have a better chance, obviously.
Damn right.
If I beat him. So I knew it was going to mean a lot to beat him. I would have to put just about everything I had into it, any extra things that I had into it, any extra time I had into it, mentally and physically. And mentally, I prepared for it more than my – physically, because I knew I had to beat it. I had to stay, stay calm during the fight, not emotional. Despite being thrown on the ground, hit low or whatever. You know what I mean? Get and not like put any emotion towards that and just win the fight and stick to the game plan and executing whatever I have to do to win the fight.
I mean, in coming from a fight the other day, you literally don't look like you have a mark on you. So it had to been a one-sided fight from having it 3 days ago.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. I mean, I was a little puffy like the day after, but nothing crazy. Yeah.
Seems like the South Shore versus North Shore, no matter who's fighting, you know, who's playing what sport, South Shore, you know, seems to be coming out on top every time. Just tell me the, you know, more atmosphere of, you know, fighting outside. I'm sure, you know, Holbrook's right around the corner. Just you had probably your whole family there and friends. Just how great was it catching the W, not just, you know, another win, but in front of your local crowd?
Well, it felt great. I mean, you see all these ex-fighters that I looked up to growing up, all the stories I heard, all the history I heard. My dad was there. He was screaming. You know, I mean, he had a blast in the crowd talking to everyone there. All the fighters that I've trained with all throughout the years and all the people who have trained me all throughout the years have got to witness the other night. So even fighting on the same card as Francis Hogan, Julian Baptiste, and Tommy O'Toole and the new guys and the amateurs like Shaq, we were training with him.
Yeah.
We're all from the same gym, training very hard together. And we all got the victory, which was even better. Our gym came out on top.
It was a sweep. It was a clean sweep.
Yeah.
Wow.
And,
it's domination.
Yeah. So it was really nice, that all of us got to share that moment together and I got to be the main event, which was really, was honored to be the main event. And yeah, it was great. Great night.
You saw all over town, all the bars you went to, it was like your face and everything. Just, you know, even just the advertisement. I know if this isn't your first rodeo, but, you know, that's pretty fucking cool around here of, you know, I'm walking into the Fowl House. I don't know if your relative was, you know, restaurants in Quincy, but your face is, you know, sparked up there, ready to roll. Just, you know, the whole promotion side of it, how cool was that aspect of the weigh-ins and everything like that?
It was cool. Yeah. Especially in the weigh-ins. The weigh-ins were really cool in that little Irish bar. It was really, I don't know, there was something about it. It had its own character in there. Yeah, I mean.
What bar were the weigh-ins in?
I forget what it's called. It's right off Hancock Street.
Was it on Malachy's?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, Malachy's. Yeah. Local spot. Great spot.
Yeah, so it was interesting. The feel of it was really cool, you know, walking into there. But obviously, you gotta live in the moment. You can't be like, get nervous, you know what I mean, or anything. You gotta kind of, I mean, I see my face like on posters and this and that, but you can't let it get, you know what I mean? I just kind of go.
I know you're a pro's pro, but after making weight, any part of you be like, all right, maybe I should get a nice, you know, quick pint over there. No,
no, I don't drink.
Oh, you don't drink. No. There we go.
Is this your first time fighting for the Granite Promotions?
No, they promote me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They promote me full time.
Since 2021 or 2022, I've been promoted by them. Chris Traherty.
Yeah.
He gets me the next level fights. He got me the fight in, Madison Square Garden against Tiger. You know what I mean? He got me those opportunities and stuff like that. So Grant Chin's really, he's top in New England.
Yeah. You know? No, I love Chris. I've known Chris forever. We used to work together at Assembly in Quincy. So
cool.
He's a good shit.
Cool.
Everyone knows everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
That type of thing.
Yeah.
I just want to ask too, speaking of the MSG fight, took a loss there. How do you bounce back from a loss like that? And, you know, you've produced three wins in a row, 3-0 in 2023. Just how do you really turn things around? And how do you kind of reevaluate yourself and your craft and working with coaches, working on, you know, defeating your opponent every time you go out?
It's more of a mental test. I mean, after a fight like that, you get to see, go back and look at, the loss and see why I lost, you know what I mean? And I know why I lost. I should have adapted quicker. You know what I mean? I was boxing beautiful in the beginning of the fight, but I should have adapted because he did. I was beating him to the punch, surprisingly. You know what I mean? I didn't expect to. So I kind of ran with it. And then he started walking me down. He walked me down. I mean, I still walked out of that fight unscathed. You know what I mean? I feel like they stopped a little early. I should have fought harder probably, but that's something I took out of it. So now I'm going to be sent after beating Harry. Yeah. I mean, I got my fights to get me back on the win streak, on the winning track with the two opponents. And I got Harry. Yeah. I mean, a top local fight to show that, I can prove my skill in front of all these people. to show them that, like, I don't belong on a, like, I do, obviously I love fighting on a local level, but I belong on the biggest stage fighting these bigger guys. So I was able to show that the other night. So now Chris is going to get me another big fight on the big stage, and I'm going to have another chance to prove myself. And I I'm going to take whatever I've learned in my past and put it to work. You know what I mean?
Let's go. I heard there was a nice left hook to the body in the fifth round. Just tell me how, you know, obviously it went to the decision, unanimous decision, but you pretty much can control the whole way, to Craig's point of saying it doesn't look like you got a scratch on you. Just tell me how you you evaluate yourself in that fight. Seems like you dominated.
So leading up to that fifth round, I would say after the second round, the first two rounds were closer. You know what I mean? I was landing. I was really focusing on my jab to his stomach and my jab up top and trying to just whatever get past his punches and make him go backwards and me take the momentum, which I did after the second round. And you could tell, you know what I mean? I was within myself. I'd stay within myself within the fight. And he kind of obviously got out of control trying to judo flip me, you know what I mean, in the fifth round. You know what I mean? Because he knew I started taking control. I said that after the third round, I'm going to start walking him down and walking, make him go backwards, because he couldn't punch going backwards. And I was sucking the life out of him, having him going backwards. So I was going to keep pushing the pace going forward. And then the fifth round came, he threw me. And I was like, all right, I can either get up and try to throw him back and get upset and whatever. But no, I kept my composure. I just kept going back to what I was doing. And I hit him with a body shot. You know what I mean? I mean, it was a matter of time. I was hitting him in the body all night. I hurt him with one probably like a minute before that. I probably hurt him with a one. But if I never kept myself under control, I probably wouldn't have put him down. So that was the fifth round I put him down. Then I think the sixth round, I think I hurt him either the end of the sixth or the seventh. I hurt him again.
Kept building off it one by one.
Yeah. And then I seen him go over to the corner one of the rounds. Before, at the end of the round, after I hit him with a body shot, it was another one at the end of the round, and he took a knee, and he was like gasping for air, and he told me he split blood at the end of the fight. So I was like, he was on one knee. I was like, oh, I got this, and then the doctor checked to make sure he was fine. Then he came out for I think the seventh round, eighth round. So I was pushing my pace, my will.
I was gonna say, at what point do you push yourself being like, I really want to finish this fight, but I also don't want to expose myself and, you know, give him a chance to, you know, get back in it.
Yeah, so yeah. I was pushing it. Even in the seventh, I was pushing it, but he was really tough. I give that to him. He has a chin. Yeah, I mean, no, I don't think he's ever been stopped. Oh, actually, he's targeted, but he's stopped on his feet. He's never been,
KO. Knocked to the canvas, yeah.
Or anything. He has a good chin. Yeah. You know what I mean? I got to his body, but I was trying to go to his body. But he was covering it, so I was going to the head. But he was really tough. I couldn't get him out of there to the head. So I eventually was just walking him down the seventh and the eighth. I walked him down a little bit more, just to seal the deal. DeLuca, Mark DeLuca was the coach in my corner. He was telling me,
stud. Yep.
Just don't go out there and do anything stupid. Just stay in control and win the
fight. Bad man taking down the hitman, man. That's a caller's dream call. That's some shit. You know what else is some shit? Francis was supposed to be, we were supposed to do a double boxing interview. We'll see him somewhere down the road. But he's had some, I think one time he dressed up in his like the Borat weigh-ins where you can only kind of see his package, whatever going on. And then he had the Barbie going on, I think, the other night. I mean, I know you do your own thing, but you kind of have to do some type of, I don't know. Do you have to do some type of stunt to, you know, be noticed like that?
I don't know. I mean, I'm happy he's not here because he's not going to steal the show on me. The kid's a stud.
I know. How embarrassing it is to be that other fighter too, for him to do all that like frilly, like funny bullshit and then like to come out and get your ass kicked. Because I watched his fight. He was coming at that guy fucking intensely. Like,
yeah,
he's fucking crazy.
Yeah. I remember when I was, when he was like 15 years old and I was probably whatever. What do I have? 5-6 years on him? 7? Was he 22? I'm 22.
Yeah, I think so. He's 7 like years on him. Yeah.
He was 15. I was 7, whatever, 7. What am I, 22 or 23 or something? Yeah. And that's when I realized he could punch. And they were like, my coaches at the time told me to go in there and work with him. I was working with him and he buzzed me with like a right hook. And I was like, this kid can really punch. I was like, I can't take it easy on this kid.
No.
I never, ever since that day, tried to take it easy never with Francis.
Especially nowadays, never take it easy on him.
And he was 15 years old. Yeah. And this kid could punch like a mule. And I was like, wow.
So even when we talk about like going into the next fight, do you ever like see anyone that you like would want to call out, or someone in your weight class where it's like up to the next level where you like are looking to fight that person? Or is it kind of just like still building your like reputation to like get to that point where either the fighters are calling you out or you have the ability to call out someone else?
I don't know. I'm not really like a call out fighter. Like whoever he sends across my table, I say yeah to. Harry, he asked me who I wanted to fight in New England. I was like, who is there? And we're looking who there is. And I think Danny O'Connor was there. I was like, I'll fight Danny O'Connor. I just seen him fight. That didn't work out for some reason. And then Harry was there also. He was number two that I was like, all right, yeah, I'll fight him too. And I really don't know too many guys in New England. I don't know. Whoever Chris tells me the fight, I'll say yeah to.
Next man up type of mentality. Yeah.
O'Connor, is that the one that fights out of Farrell's in Southie?
No.
Who was that? Do you know that?
Kelseski?
No, I don't think it's him. Someone else. Yeah. He had like the punching competition with the Dana White, like slap off thing. They had like a competition. Yeah. I have to look it up.
So you fought in a bunch of like different local ones, like I said, veterans, Bridgewater Vets Club. How was it fighting? I know unfortunately it was a loss, but fighting in MSG must've been pretty cool.
That was awesome. Yeah. I went back in the stands after. I watched the Teofimo versus
Oh really? That was that night?
Yeah. That was a great fight too. That was sitting there, I was like, wow, all these great fighters, all the people I watched, like Sugar Ray Robinson and LaMotta and all these people. Like,
so were you like in the beginning, one of the first, or was it like,
yeah, it was the very first.
Okay. Cause we went, I'm best friends with Francis' cousin. We went, Francis' first pro fight fought at in Brooklyn, he was the first one. So we're like, oh, now what do we do the rest of the time? I think we just left right after because it wasn't like a good main event. But that's just funny seeing there how you would think it's like, since you're fighting at MSG, you think it's like all the bunch of fans, but they like don't start coming in until
late
prelims.
There was a good amount of people at MSG.
Oh, that's good.
They didn't start till like 7 o'clock. They didn't have like a huge undercard. Like I remember hearing that body shot Francis hit that kid with that on his debut.
Yep.
And that was insane. He took a tough fight. The guy was 5-2, I think, too.
Yeah, he was at least experienced, and I think at least had 10 years on Francis. And Francis got him with a nice little gut punch there.
I was you could hear it. I could feel it.
Yeah. That city, man, Brooklyn, Manhattan, just so tough to get around. Oh my god, you're better off walking everywhere instead of taking cabs. Oh, it's just the worst.
Yeah, it takes longer to take a cab somewhere than it does to walk. It's fucking crazy. Oh,
it's good to bounce around though. Yeah. So Friday, you finish it up. Did you do any celebrating with friends? I know you.
Now you get back to work. I honestly didn't. What did I do? We left at like 1 a.m. because it ended up so late. Usually you get out at like 11:30, but it ended up like it was like 1 a.m. I went home, stayed up all night because I drank a Celsius before the fight. and then I saved Celsius till the till that day. Like I waited like a week and a half to drink it. I just drank coffee. I usually have one, like a Celsius before I work out. So I waited. So I was up all night, and then it was nice to have like two days off, you know?
Back to work though. Like, cause I know you do a job outside of boxing, right?
Yeah. I own my own, painting company, OAM Painting.
All right. Well, we got to, we'll give it the shout out like that.
Yeah.
Where do you get mostly do your business? Just South Shore?
South Shore. I'm working in, Brookline coming up a couple weeks and like Walpole area. I don't know if Walpole is South Shore. Is it?
It's itself.
Yeah. It's not the North Shore. So
Magic Mike's not here tonight. He's a painter. You guys could definitely collab.
Or hire him.
Yeah, we'll hire him.
Yeah, I know.
So going forward, what do you I'm seeing on here November 2nd that's not set in stone or anything like that.
He honestly didn't even tell me about it. It's just on there. Yeah, he said we're gonna look for something big after this. So
So just you looking at it that's on there, you're like, wow, maybe I'm fighting on this. I know nothing about it.
Yeah, I was like, sure. I want my 20th, my 20th win anyway. So send me something.
How long normally are your fight camps? Like, how long do you train up for leading up to it?
Usually like 2 months.
2 months, yeah.
So usually like 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah,
say 6 to 8. I don't like to go. I don't like to train like go too crazy because then you burn yourself out and stuff like that.
So. And are you sparring like with other pro boxers or just like?
I was helping Abe get ready for his fight, Abraham Nova.
Yeah.
His fight. He got the third round knockout.
Let's go.
Basically all the guys fighting on the card. Who was I sparring with? I was sparring with Shaq. He's a good amateur. Yeah. He fought in that amateur.
So how does that go? You guys like rock headgear or anything, or just like promise not to knock each other out?
No, we try to kill each other.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, like we're down Bishops, and they got some dog work down there. I was training with Cedric. He's a good amateur fighter. He should be turning pro.
Now, do you do any outdoor like sparring to get ready?
That's a good thought, though.
Yeah.
You know? What was it like being under the lights? Like, was that not a cool experience? Was that your first time fighting outside like that?
In the pros, yeah, but I haven't fought outside. I think Somerville and then the Brockton Fair was like one of my first fights.
That's awesome. Get some cotton candy after. That's a perfect one.
Watch them like, what do they have? The Demolition Derby.
So the way I saw it, at least on photos, they put the ring like basically on the sidelines, right? On like closest to the
I wish they opened up the field, but they probably couldn't do it or something like that. Trash the field.
You would have probably got some fucking smart guy trying to run on during your fight.
But yeah, they filled the stadium and stuff like that. I think it holds like 3,000, so they did really good. They held a lot of people
in our Free Jacks took on the rugby championship. It's a professional rugby team.
Yeah, they won a championship. Yep. So they're big. They're a big team.
They're no joke. Yeah.
We actually crashed at parade. It was great, but we'll move on from that. Yeah. Overall, you know, sitting here at 19-2, 9 KOs. Just what more do you want to get out of this that you already haven't had at 29 years old? I'm sure you got plenty more fights ahead of you. But what do you want to get out of this that you haven't already?
Title shot, money. I'd like to buy a house. You know what I mean?
Stuff. Fuck
like
yeah. That. Yeah.
Who holds the title right now in your weight class?
I have no idea. 140. So whoever's there. I have no idea.
You gotta start calling that motherfucker out.
Catch a big fight or something like that.
You check out the Jake Paul Nate Diaz fight.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah.
So what like? Because you're always boxing, but, you know, seeing something like that where Jake Paul seems like he's a somewhat of a legitimate boxer now, fighting all these guys, but all these UFC guys taking the payday to go over. Just your thoughts on the whole thing.
It brings a lot of people to boxing, I guess. I don't know how the undercard went. Honestly, I don't even think I seen it. I think I just seen the highlights. But it seemed like, I don't know. I mean, he puts a lot of work into the box, and he trains hard probably and does the right thing. So, I mean, it's not bad.
I wasn't like a fan of it at first, but the more he's just making it a game and more of a money game, grab than anything. And all these guys, UFC, who, you know, have had their fights, but I don't think have gotten paid to what they should have been paid.
Yeah.
Are making a night. I think Nate Diaz made like $10 million over that fight, which is nuts.
That's the most he probably ever made.
Ever. Yeah. Fight, yeah. Right? Yeah. They said combined his whole winnings.
That's crazy.
And he fought McGregor twice, which is three times. Was it twice?
I think twice.
Twice.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because those are money grab fights too. But, it's cool to see at least boxing's expanding to – I feel like YouTube's a good one because you kind of – you kind of need a personality to get up in that type of sport nowadays, I feel like.
That's what you're saying. It brings so much more eyes to boxing. How do you feel about like the bare knuckle boxing leagues?
I'd do it. Like I need to suffer a few cuts, but yeah, I'd like to do it.
Right.
Yeah. What the guy I fought, Gigliotti, he fought in the triad or something.
Oh,
like
really?
That. Yeah. He fought in like bare knuckle triad league or something like that. Yeah. I'd like to try it someday. I mean, that's where boxing came from. So
right, exactly.
I like maybe do it in like in my 30s or something like that when I get all cut up and stuff. I haven't suffered any major cuts. So
there's no real like boxer cuts or anything on the brow cut or whatever.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't need to go get cut in bare knuckle boxing and then go back to boxing.
Yeah. And then just have it be a liability.
Start losing fights. Yeah, because exactly. Of that. Yeah. But I'd like to see like McGregor or something step up to like one of the Jake Paul guys.
But I think that should be one of the next fights.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't beaten a boxer yet, I guess a boxer.
Yeah.
But these UFC guys, they'll keep coming for the payday. I'm sure McGregor will come around.
Fuck it, I'll do it.
Yeah, if he'll have you.
Yeah. Oh, it'll take me.
Mike, appreciate you appreciate having you on the show. The last thing I gotta ask is about the trunks. So you got black trunks to say, Ohan, any like sentimental value to it and anything you add to the trunks? You're just like gave me the sponsors, like let it rip.
I got some of the sponsors. They're navy blue or navy whatever, blue. White. I'm going to get some more new ones made, but I have the same sponsors. I got Ken Duval Oil. They've been really good to me. Brennan Smoke Shop. They've been really good to me. Who else do I have on there right now? I can't even think right now. My church, Live and Wear Church in Rockland. They've been, we follow Jesus awesome. Christ, and he's a major part of my life. Yeah. You know,
great
and,
stuff.
I can't really think of any other ones right this second. I'm not right in front of my truck.
It's all good.
We'll shout them out. We'll put them up.
You're a hobo guy. Last question. We like to throw local businesses around here. If you're going out, for a nice dinner, any night this week, like where would you go?
I go to the North End.
North End? What's your top?
Honestly, I think it's something Trattoria.
Yep.
Yeah, story.
Was it Victoria's Trattoria or something?
It's like Trattoria El Restaurante or something like that.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I honestly don't even know the names of these places. I just know if you go to North End, you're going to find good chicken parm over there. So. And then you go over to Mike's or Boba's after and you get perfect. Something. And then some coffee.
Yeah, Mike's or Modern Pastry. Who are you taking first?
Mike's or Modern.
Pastry.
I honestly never been to Modern.
I think Modern's the best out of the three between Bova's, Mike's, and...
Is it close?
Yeah, it's literally five doors down across the street.
Right, I'm just going to Modern Pastry because they don't have the line that Mike's Pastries has.
It's better, too. It's
more local. I don't weigh in that line.
Cafe Vittoria is good. I like
Cafe. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's above the Smoke Shop.
No, it's underneath. It's on the...
Oh, underneath.
It's a little bit further down. Yeah, it's further... I think it's close to the Smoke Shop. Yeah. And they have I like the tiramisu.
Yep.
So that's really good there. I like that.
The best dessert in the game.
Let it rip up. Yeah. I'm an espresso martini guy.
Yeah.
Should I'll do both. Some martinis.
Yeah. Well, a coffee with a pastry is
a gentleman.
Flames. Yeah, yeah.
That's the way dessert should be.
Yeah, exactly.
Mix it in. Mike, appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Thank you.
Welcome anytime and best of luck going forward, man. I won't be watching.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Let's get that belt, baby.
Yeah, let's go get it.
Let's go. The new year is almost here, and if you're looking to shed off some holiday pounds before beak season, well, look no further and head on down to Slight Edge Fitness Performance, located at 101 French Avenue in Braintree, Massachusetts. Owned and operated by our guy, Quincy legend, Craig Kelly. You will be assured that you are getting the best training around. They believe in only the highest standards of physical fitness training and have been leading the charge at their state-of-the-art fitness facility since 2020. Their staff is actively enriching the lives of members and creating a community of like-minded people who love being healthy and strong. They are helping you to get in shape and teaching you how to maintain your health and fitness. Group fitness classes as well as one-on-one personal training sessions are available. Make sure to visit slightedgefit.com and also follow them on Instagram at slightedgefitness and set up a consultation today. If you're looking to get back in shape or trying to get a slight edge on the competition, this gym is for you. Check out Slight Edge Fitness and Performance, located at 101 French Avenue in Braintree, Massachusetts, and tell them the boys from Steel and Nas sent you. And we're back. That was Mike Ohan Jr. coming off his big W at Veterans Memorial Stadium in Quincy, Massachusetts last Friday. Now gets the 19-2, I believe, that's his record. Just stand-up guy. Just not all business. Lightened him up. Got it going. He lit up North Shore. Our year.
I kind of wanted to be more aggressive when I'm like, hey, like what's next? Like, you're going for the belt? He's like, yeah, I'll fight anyone. I'm like, dude, fucking stop calling out the champion. If you want the belt, you got to fucking go for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just don't think that's the way he operates. He's his own guy, just like how Francis Hogan's own guy. Maybe Francis would do that. But like, Francis is his guy. Mike, is on to bigger and better things. And I think that's another fight coming in November. Hopefully can continue on this winning streak. Rooting for the local guys, Holbrook native, kind of the South Shore. That's the South Shore.
I'll give it to him.
It's like 2 feet in. I'll give you that. Moving on, top subject, I think, of the week is Ezekiel Elliott, 3-time pro bowler, signing with the New England Patriots as the backup running back. Craig, do you like the signing?
Dude, I've been so off and on anytime we sign one of those big names like that. I always think it's going to be the best thing for us. Always turns out to be bad. You know what? I'm sticking with it again. That boy's going to eat. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it coming.
That's like that's the guy who eats. Like he's
a fucking animal. He's got the fucking legs. He's got the power. Hopefully he can add a little bit of energy into our fucking game plan, get some pressure off our quarterback situation and kind of just spread out the field to make Mac do bigger and better things to really shine at what he can do.
They were so low at running back. Like if Stevenson got hurt, they might've called Magic Mike to play running back or something, dude. Pierce Strong, this Kevin Harris guy.
I know it was just the preseason, but the last weekend they seemed like they weren't even there. Seemed like they weren't even ready to go. Having a 1-2 punch really opens up your offense. And, you know, as much as people are down, people are already projecting the Patriots, you know, finishing fourth place. The AFC East is too tough. The Jets, the Dolphins. I can't dog on the Bills because the Bills have been the leader since Tom Brady's been gone.
I think that the Bills are in contention for winning the Super Bowl this year. That's going to be my pick early before we get to the preseason talk. But
agree. But for me, I don't think the Patriots are a long step away from there. Yeah, they have some mid-tier receivers. Where talking about Smith-Schuster, you know, Devontae Parker, Kendrick Bourne. Bourne being your top three there. You have good tight ends. Your offensive line, if they stay healthy, it's going to come down to the little things, how, you know, football games are won and lost. On the, you know, they have a hell of a schedule starting with Philly. They have the Cowboys, I think, week 4. The Jets and Miami are sprinkled in there. So they have games come out of the gate, and they haven't really had any strong starts to begin the season since Brady's left. Mac Jones seems to be getting it together during the training camp. Didn't play last week. None of the starters did. Bailey Zappe came out, kind of was a check down guy. Didn't really take too many chances. Had a nice throw to who was a Tyquan Thornton there. That was a nice completion there. Couple of nice takeaways. You know, the defense played nice. They lost, but it wasn't really a win type of game, if that makes sense. But overall, I think the running game obviously got better. Much needed backup position in case something happens to Stevenson. Third down back. I think the overall goal is last year's offense was awful. They didn't even need a guy like Elliott because it would just be third and long plays. There's going to come down when it's 3rd and 5, 3rd and 4, even earlier, closer than that. And a guy, Ezekiel Elliott, when Stevenson's, you know, chugging the first 2 downs, he's going to come in and, you know, make plays. And I think he's going to be big for, you know, pass protecting. I think he can pretty much do it all. And he's only – everyone's saying he's old, dude. I'm 29 years old. This guy's 28, dude.
Yeah.
He has scratched the surface in the NFL. Don't get me wrong about that, but he's definitely not past his prime. Not buying that yet. Not buying it.
I mean, I know the running back position in the NFL is very short lived because of all the fucking abuse you have, but yeah, I feel like he's had some times where he's taken some breaks in the game. So I feel like he's rested up for us. Do you think we see him as early as the next preseason game?
They said they could. I wouldn't rush him because he hasn't been in training camp or anything yet. He hasn't really taken hits. Last thing we need is the guy we just gave $4 million guaranteed to just tear his ACL in a preseason game. After he signs a contract, right. So I would slow his roll on getting him in. Maybe try these strong. You know, who can be the third running back? Who's going to make the team? Ty Montgomery, Pierre Strong, Kevin Harris. Who's going to get cut? Who's going to be on practice squad? There's a lot of stuff still to play out. Preseason game takeaway. The guy Keon White, second round pick out of, I forget what college you went to. That's a hell of a Georgia Tech. Yeah. Damn, producer Justin's on it tonight.
No, you never fucking miss.
But Keon White came to fucking play. Seemed like he was in on every tackle. I think he made a sack. Beat the hell out of some running back. I'm trying to remember what play it was. He hit someone pretty damn well. But he seemed like he made a hell of a presence. He's huge too, so I don't know necessarily if they're going to take him off the line, make him outside linebacker, or, you know, sit Dietrich Wise-ass on the bench. I guess it's only one preseason game, but we'll see how it goes. Obviously going to be a defensive first team, but I really don't think this team's that much worse than, you know, a couple of these teams they're talking about. You know, you see all these programs talking up about AFC North with the Browns and Steelers. I think the Patriots have better talent, better team. Not even just coaching, but just on paper, that they're going to be better than those teams. AFC South is a dump. AFC West, all those teams are pretenders besides the Chiefs. The Chiefs obviously are the cream of the crop. I'm telling you, I would look if the Patriots can somehow hold on these first 4 or 5 games. I could see them sneaking into a playoff spot. And if I'm saying that on August 15th, just wait to what I'm saying on November 15th. Because it could be hell. It could be great. But you never know.
Do you think that the Patriots deserve to be the last place in contention to be? I think, what was it, the positioning for the odds? Was it to win the Super Bowl? I think they're the lowest chances right now in the NFL.
I don't think they're the lowest, but they're pretty pretty down there. I think it, last time I checked, it was like 3,000 plus, so that's like 300 to 1. Right?
Well, I kind of see the value there, though. I might toss a couple bucks on it.
I'm talking about they might make the playoffs. They're not touching the Super Bowl, dude.
Hey,
that AFC is so tough, dude. You have three teams who will give you problems in the Bills, the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Kansas City Chiefs. And I don't think the Patriots in the playoffs can, you know, go. They're going to have to go into one of their buildings and beat them. I don't see them beating all three of those. And I think the Ravens are more my dark horse teams this year. I think the Ravens are going to be a tough out as well. Patriots got to worry about themselves. They got to go game by game. I'm not sold on the Jets yet. I'm definitely not sold on the Miami Dolphins yet, because as good as their defense has, that offense is one injury away from their quarterback position from being a complete fraud.
I was just going to say, what do you think the Jets' chances are? People putting a lot of like pressure on the Jets to be good this year.
So they're going out and they're saying their ceiling is to get to the AFC Championship game. I think it's going to be a lot harder to get there than what people are, you know, making out to be. I get Aaron Rodgers is a stud. If you watch Hard Knocks, I know Hard Knocks kind of hypes up anyone who's on there. I mean, shit, they were hyping up the Detroit Lions last year, even though they're supposed to have a good season coming up. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers is that guy, one of the best quarterbacks of our generation. But, you know, when you get down to it, Garrett Wilson, their leading receiver, great hands in college. Rookie of the year last year, but really, did he do that much? We'll see. We'll see. They picked up Dalvin Cook with Breece Hall. You know, speaking of good running back tandems, that's another good one. And they have a good defense. They remind me, outside of between Mac Jones and Aaron Rodgers, if you were to take the quarterback away from the situation, I would say they have a pretty identical roster than the New England Patriots. But no, they put in the fact of Aaron. You can't do that because Aaron Rodgers is better than Mac Jones. So that's why they have they're on that pedestal right now. They still haven't showed me anything in the last 10 years to make me believe that team's going to, you know, do something. I still can't believe the odds that they have on. I think the Bills are odds to win the division by like pennies, but I just don't know how the Bills don't win the division. I don't see how they lose that. I'd be shocked.
I got them winning the championship. So you got me there.
You got the Bills win the championship.
Bills, baby. Bills Mafia. Fucking shout out T. Shout out the Water Buffalo Nation. The Buffalo Bills just made a Mattel like toy that has the Water Buffalo hat on it.
Is it a Barbie?
It's, well, Mattel makes Barbie, but for like an actual licensed sponsored thing, she like got like a full on shout out for like her product and hat that she made.
Well, that's what T does. She comes on the podcast and she takes names and kicks ass. That's what she does.
She fucking put you in a body bag.
I'd love to go over there once if that city wasn't so despicable.
Honestly, the Buffalo that I know is a lot different from the Buffalo that you guys probably know, because I'm hanging out with the bumping elbows with the top elite. But if we want to take a trip out there, she would definitely hook us up and put us up.
Showtime's already always ready for prime time, seems like. But yeah, now good to see. I feel like at least it's going to be – I think it's going to be an exciting season for the Patriots, because we don't know what's going to happen. All these people projected them going, you know, 4, 5, 6 wins, I think is crazy. I think they're way more of a mid team than that. I think their ceiling is 10 wins. I'd like to see them hit their ceiling. I would like to see it. And 10 wins this year might not get you in the playoffs. It might not.
I think 10 wins is pretty high. I don't really see the Patriots doing that, especially even after the preseason. I know it's preseason, but
10-7?
losing to Houston like that.
They didn't play starter, Craig.
It doesn't matter.
No, it does matter.
It's a whole core. Baltimore Ravens, even though they haven't been doing that well, they haven't lost a game in 27 fucking last outings. Like you gotta show some fucking pride in your team.
No, you're talking about preseason games.
Dude,
right,
I don't
now.
Care if it's preseason. Matt
Jones hasn't
had
a rep. Neither of their top running backs have played.
Who's repping? Fucking Zappy.
Yeah,
Zappy's my fucking guy. Zappy, I want him started. To fucking be there.
Zappy started.
When Matt Castle came in for fucking Tom Brady when he was hurt, he made it to the playoffs, didn't he?
No, they didn't make it.
They were fucking, but the league was fucking stacked that year. Same thing. If you have the fucking backup in for your team, I don't see good things if you can't even have your fucking secondary winning some games and against the worst team in the league.
Well, I got to mention it because my boy Malik Cunningham went off in the fourth quarter. Running quarterback, has a record over Lamar Jackson at Louisville. So he put on his show. He ran for a touchdown, completed a couple passes. I don't see him being a quarterback in this league. I see him being more of a, you know, wide receiver type convert skill back. But I think he'll make the team. I just don't know how many quarterbacks they're going to. I think McSorley's going to get cut. I think they're going to keep Cunningham as kind of their, like, he's going to go Rover, as the wise words of Jackie Moon will say. He's going to go Rover. But no, it would be good to see them have a good season, but we'll go from there. Showtime, you were in like Amsterdam, like Ireland, everywhere, yeah. Man. We got to talk about that a little bit. You know, give me, what is it like if I go to Amsterdam for like a couple nights?
Well, first of all, shout out, how I started my European trip was we had a wedding for Tommy O'Brien and Aaron Feeney. So little round of applause for them getting married to make the O'Briens.
Shout out.
Quick clap up. So Ireland was a good time. Honestly, there's nothing really you can do in Ireland besides go look at some cows, get your feet in the grass, and drink some beers and fucking Jameson. To the point I almost grew an immunity to Jameson by the end of my trip. Like, I wasn't even getting drunk. I was bringing a liter to every single pub, having a good crack and having to rip shots in between my pints of Guinness. So
that TikTok video kind of went off. Can you give us a little recite?
All right, I'll drop one for you. If you didn't see it, my best friend John Ross, we always do this adaptation of "Oh Danny Boy." So it goes, "Oh Johnny Boy, the pipes are calling." And I actually don't know the rest of the song, so that's all I rip. Maybe did a little mashup.
That was hot.
It's not bad. Yeah. I get crazy with it too. Yeah. So, and then from there, straight after the wedding, took me about a couple missed planes, couple missed trains, couple missed buses, but I finally made my way to Amsterdam.
Missed buses. That's
dude. I couldn't even explain to you the like shambles I was in traveling in these different places, but. Wow. Finally got to Amsterdam, stayed in a houseboat right on the canal in the district of the red light. And all I got to say is whatever you imagine Amsterdam to be, if you ever have the chance or opportunity to go there, it's like what you think it is, except way fucking better, way crazier. And the food sucks. Food in Europe sucks in general. There's no refrigeration. There's no AC. So don't go when it's hot.
There's no AC?
Dude, they don't believe in AC and refrigeration in Amsterdam. Like even when you're in Ireland, they give you one ice cube, Jameson on that rock, and it's melted. But before the time they give you a warm soda in a glass bottle to pour it in yourself.
Can we talk about extracurriculars or are you just not?
Oh, we can talk about extracurriculars. What do you want to talk about? I was going to say, one of my main advices is bring extra money than what you think you want to bring to Amsterdam.
Extra money to Amsterdam.
You want to run down? You want the rundown of what?
I think the people want to know.
All right. So what it is, the red light district, right? Amsterdam's weird how it's made up. It's made up from a smaller to larger circular canals all around the place. So you have to go over these bridges from the downtown center. There's two bridges to the right. Once you go those two bridges to the right on the more eastern front of Amsterdam itself is you literally look it up. It says red light district itself. You walk down it by side of a canal. On the left-hand side, there is just windows plastered all the way down. During the daytime, it says room for rent, 100 euros. So what that is these girls, I don't know if they're pimps, I don't know if they're gypsies, I don't know Hulkers. We'll get rid of the euphemisms. These whores, they fucking lined up in all these windows by nighttime. There's three girls a window lining up, fucking trying to drag guys in. So you have an entire street, probably mile long. Then you cross a canal, go to the other side, coming down the other way is all same thing. Three windows, three girls per window all the way down. You basically go down, take your pick. And in between those is also sex shows. I don't know if anyone's experienced one of these sex shows.
Magic Mike's dream last night.
Dude, Magic Mike would probably be renting one of these windows by the end of it to make up for recuperating all his money.
Probably be painting it, trying to pay back.
Yeah, you'd be like, this red's kind of looking pink. Can I fucking touch it up a little? But yeah, just a good time. Experimented in the truffles, as the locals say, and that was a good time. Feeling great. The nightclubs there is good. The scene's there. It's kind of Amsterdam's really the New York City of Europe, so it's more of like a melting pot of a lot of different like regions and areas of girls and guys and just fucking
everyone there to have a fun time. It feel like it can be a train wreck there though.
Not really. No. Honestly, it's a lot safer than I thought it was going to be too. There wasn't really too much like trouble or like young kids or like people starting problems. It was kind of just like a happy go lucky. It's honestly extremely gay. there's a lot of like gay pride flags everywhere. So like it's very accepting.
I was just thinking of that Yarrow trip when the guy gets like kidnapped and they're trying to like shove that thing up his ass or whatever. I don't know.
I mean, I could see this thing getting shoved up your ass, but I don't know if you're going to get kidnapped while you're at it. But yeah. Yeah, no, I wouldn't trust like going to like Romania or like Poland, but yeah, Netherlands is a very cool spot.
I like it.
Yeah, so definitely check it out if you can, any opportunity.
And that's a review.
Yeah, I'm finally trying to slow down on my bender because I've been partying for the last month, so we're finally winding down after this.
I will say, you said to me too, you were like, you've been working long days, long hours. You're like, July is my month, and then Mike Steele said, this year's our year.
Slowly turning from July to August is my month. It might even transition to September. We'll see how this party goes. But yeah, I've just been enjoying myself. I had a long year already of work. So it's nice to relax and enjoy yourself. I'm trying to wind down, but
hey, summer, man, you gotta let it rip no matter what age you are. Moving on a little bit. I don't really want to move on because Amsterdam just sounds like a great time.
I can tell you some more stories.
Do you want a story? Yeah, get a story in.
let me think of one real quick.
Okay.
I'll think one.
So after 15 seasons in the NHL, David Krejci decides to hang it up a month after Patrice Bergeron did. Losing two of your top guys in the on the team. Pretty much, nucleus there. David Krejci has been so good for this team. It just seems like whenever he go, the team goes. Stepped away, played in Czech last year, but really had a good year in like 16. I think it's 16 goals and like 30, 40 assists. Just a really good year being on, Pasternak's line for the most part. Just an all-time Bruin. Has been playing since 07. Definitely 46 going to go up in the rafters. It's going to be a different year in, at the Garden here for the Bruins with no Patrice Bergeron, no David Krejci. But it just seems like, the Bruins are turning a page. We thought they were going to suck going into this year with all the injuries. I think they're really going to suck going next year with losing these guys. But, shout out to David Krejci for doing what you do, man. We'll never forget, the 2011 Montreal Game 7 out there. 2013 comeback against the Maple Leafs. They're all part of this. Just great to see another guy going out on top. I know they should have won this year, but they had a hell of a season. Fun season, I feel like. And, I feel like you look at it, 40 is going to go up in Tuukka Rask, 33 is in Zdeno Chara. Bergeron, 37. I think right there it should be 46, no doubt. Obviously 63 when his time is done, but it's not done for a little bit. But shout out David Krejci. You got any response on that or no?
David Krejci is a tough one to see. He does well in the playoffs. He's always held it down for us. And he's just a good addition to the team. I don't know if it's as sad as Patrice Bergeron.
He's been playing second fiddle his whole career to that guy. I think he knows by now it's not as bad. But I was trying to give you some time to think about your story of Amsterdam. So
you still got time. Keep going.
I still got time.
What's another topic? All
right, so the last topic I was going to talk about is we got a big Rough and Rowdy 22 coming up this Friday with our guy Lights Out Lang coming off his first loss after every single one of his wins. He's 9-1 has come in the podcast. When he lost the last time, he did not come on. Respectfully so. That's what he told us. Make it happen. Defeated him, the guy who was in jail, whatever. He's not going to make it happen again. I don't think this really should be an analysis here. Bobby got his head cut up. It was bullshit last time. Bobby's going to go in this fight, go 10-1, get his belt back. And you know what? Fuck Diamond Hands. I'm already getting past Make It Happen, and I'm ready on the Diamond Hands. I think they can all
honestly,
fuck themselves.
You know what I like is the biggest supporter of Bobby Lang in the Barstool Entertainment is Stu Finer.
Stu.
Every single time, we got to have him on. For the amount of support he gives Bobby, we got to reach out to him and be like, hey, me, you, and Bobby, let's make it happen.
If I got to say ready to roll with that guy, my life would be complete.
I'm definitely excited to see Bobby get back in the ring. Dude, especially after that loss, I don't want to say he got complacent, but he definitely like had his time to like mellow out. He's thinking that he's going to go in there, just beat the shit out of anyone. That guy was a tough guy. I know he had the head cut. I knew it kind of discombobulated him a little bit. But when he gets back in there, I've seen the way he's been training recently. He's kind of been doing it in the privacy of of core box, but he's ready to fucking rock and roll.
Well, you know what, too, is big is he didn't have much time to react after that because it was 3 1-minute rounds. This time around, it's 5 1-minute rounds, so it's a five-round
They finally
fight.
Moved to five?
It's five. It's going to be six.
Oh, shit. That is going
to
be fucking
Which makes
intense.
It way better because, like, if that did happen again, he would have a lot more time to react. You know, just on be looking unbiased here, I think he definitely lost that fight, but he was definitely at a big disadvantage the time before. And I don't think necessarily make it happen made it happen. I think he just got the job done. I don't think he's going to make it happen this time. Big Friday night this time around. You know, I'm hoping for the best for Bobby. Obviously, he's one of the best to ever be a part of this, you know, rough and rowdy franchise, if not the best.
Hands down.
I think he's the
Hands
GOAT.
Down.
I think
he's the best
GOAT,
of all time.
And I think he's still in his prime, and I think he's going to show out.
Honestly, too, like, make it happen. That kind of sounds like a last-minute resort. You don't have too much confidence in yourself. Bobby's ready to rip and roll. I'm telling you, he's going to knock this guy's head off. He's going to come in swinging. I feel like he's even going to change up his fighting style for this fight. I feel like he's going to drop, like, a lot more haymakers. That guy's a tough prick, but I got Bobby.
I feel like if you, like, names make it happen, it was one of those things where he's about to get in the ring, and they're like, what's your name? He's like, I guess I'm going to make it happen. It's just pretty fucking lame.
Yeah.
He's going down.
Fuck him.
He's going down.
It ain't no fucking showtime, baby. Fuck him.
I'm sure Magic Mike is taking Bobby by a billion too, which I'm in.
Yeah. When I think about my stories from Amsterdam, like some of them get a little bit too crazy. I did fall in love when I was in Amsterdam, though.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Typical story. Girl from Portugal. Wants me to come down to her private island, you know. Live the life of fucking luxury down there. I might make it happen myself. You know what I'm saying?
Great play all words. Great play all words. Portugal, wow.
Yeah.
Got to get out there.
Yeah, you just got to keep traveling. Yeah, go have your fun, traveling. Fucking enjoy life. Don't wait till you're retired and fucking old and your fucking legs hurt and your hips hurt. Enjoy it now. Have your fun. Just do it. Live your dream.
Goddamn. I think that's how we close episode 134. I want to give a big shout out to Michael Hahn for coming on the show. 19-2, Holbrook, Mass native. Kid really got the job done. Also, Slight Edge Fitness Performance finalized their softball team this week, so they're in.
We got a tournament coming up.
Yeah, we in a.
Also, quick shout out. Sorry to interrupt you. I also have the Falmouth Road Race going up. So hopefully we get this podcast out soon because I do need a fundraiser. I completely forgot about it. Thought my sister was taking care of it.
Way to bury the lead, Showtime, huh?
But yeah, Falmouth Road Race this Sunday, August 21st. You know, I'll be down there. Going to get my shit done. Going to be crushing it up. Going to be having a good time. If anyone wants to come down, you know, I'm always open arms to have a party.
I love that. Putting on and support. I think you were there last year too, hungover as balls, but you got the job done.
Yeah, I hungover. I was up for 3 days straight and still fucking crushed it. So,
also, since we're throwing out dates, our third annual charity softball tournament is going to be Saturday, September 16th at Faxon Park and O'Rourke Park. I think they're both going to be, you know, playing there, promoting cystic fibrosis awareness. And in memory of Dan and Dennis Sullivan, two great Quincy kids who unfortunately passed away to the disease. Also want to give a big shout out to the law offices of Patrick J. Foley. I think he's been podcasting. I saw a couple videos in the past week of, you know, him going off. And it's just great to see, you know, Patrick's getting ready for football season. I got a text from the other day. He said, I can't wait for football. And it's coming.
Let's go.
It's coming.
Can't wait to have him back in the studio. Fucking Pat's always bringing the good energy. I actually saw his dad for the first time in a long time. And they have a new bartender where the fifth generation of Foley is now finally serving behind bar.
Wow.
So shout out to them. They've been a long-standing family company. JJ Foley's, East Berkeley Street. Always a good time.
Mike Steele's been there a couple times.
I think once or twice.
Oh, yeah. Episode 134 in the books. We'll see you next time. Next week, hopefully it's with Bobby Lang. I would think we're going to try to do that when he gets a W. Fuck you. Make it happen. Bullshit, man.
Let's go.
Good pod. Good pod.